So we are continuing in this series, Understanding All That Jesus Did For You. It's really about God's grace, what the cross did, what Jesus did, why he came, and understanding that in a deep way, because it fits with knowing. What we want you to do this morning is really know, and over this last 5 weeks, know the love of Christ, the unsurpassable love of Christ. In other words, this thing is way deeper than sometimes we fully comprehend. And Paul says it's in the knowing, it's in going deeper into that, that we really begin to understand the fullness of God. We attain, he says, the full measure of God's goodness in our life. So maturity, in a sense, is not sort of, okay, we're saved and now we got to work our way to being holy. Maturity is growing in this knowledge of the love of God. Amen? Now, how many of you have enjoyed the series so far? Okay. Those of you who didn't put your hand up, I forgive you. But I think if you've been here over the last 3 Sundays, what I've tried to do is establish something undisputable. That the only way that we can be made right with God is through God's grace, through the gospel. God doing what we're never capable of doing. God reaching across the chasm that was between us and him, caused by our sin, and he makes a way where there was no way. Through Jesus, through God the Son coming to us, becoming one of us, and then paying the penalty for our sin, that is the only way that we can be saved. So we see that grace, what Jesus did and what he opens up for us, is the only way that we can enter into a relationship with God and into his kingdom. But oftentimes when it comes to being made holy, when it comes to the transformed life, we inevitably fall into, and even if we believe, okay, it's by grace, so often we fall into striving. We fall into what I would call religion in the bad sense, into a system, a set of rules that we believe will ultimately change us. And we get discouraged by it because what the Bible says is it never ever works. We kind of fall back into the law, and the law, it says, it is impossible for the law to produce righteousness in us. But that's often what we do. What we're missing is that grace is both the way into God's kingdom and it is the way on in God's kingdom. It is both the means of our forgiveness from sin and it is the agent of our transformation away from sin, the love and the grace of God. We are transformed, church, by grace, by his love. Remember this very simple scripture. It is his kindness that leads to repentance. This is the title of this morning's message, Transformed by Grace. And I'm going to actually use a text that they were using in the regional gathering at the Vineyard, BC regional gathering, which I was just at on this weekend, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And I'm going to use the translation, The Message. Now, I wanted to, The Message is what's called a, what's it called? Well, it's one person's translation. So it's Eugene Peterson, who is a scholar and a theologian, and he sort of tried to modernize the text to give us sort of his sense of what it's saying in our colloquialisms, if you understand what I mean. Sort of. So It sounds a lot different. You might even get your Bible out and you try to follow along and you're like, what is this? But it is a valid translation or paraphrase, it's called. But something in this, I think Eugene Peterson has caught something that we often miss in these texts about the awesomeness, the excitement that Paul has in one sense or the psalmist has in another, that just rocks their world about who this God is. And that's what I want us to capture this morning, is this understanding that this stuff, this love of God, this grace of God that has been given to us, should rock our world. It should totally just blow your mind. That's in his text, as we'll see. That's the kind of words he uses. But let's go along here. This is Psalm 139. And I want to read this, and we're going to do a little exercise with it. And this is the message. This is Psalm 139. Then I said to myself, oh, he even sees me in the dark. At night, I'm immersed in the light. It's a fact. Darkness isn't dark to you. Night and day, darkness and light, they're all the same to you. Oh yes, you shaped me first inside, then out. You formed me in my mother's womb. I thank you, high God. You're breathtaking. Body and soul, I am marvelously made. I worship in adoration. What a creation. You know me inside and out. And then in verse 16 says this, like an open book, you watched me grow from conception to birth. All the stages of my life were spread out before you. The days of my life all prepared before I'd even lived one. Now, like I said, Psalm 139 is written by King David. And the way that Eugene is translating it in the message is to capture the awesomeness of this reality, this the astounding nature of God's grace, God's love, God's plan, God's promises that I showed you a few weeks ago have been fulfilled in Christ, all the Old Testament promises. And what I want to do is a brief kind of what's called Lectio Divina, which is it's just a way of reading the text again or noticing something about it. So I'm going to read it out loud. And what I want all of you to do is just take one phrase, a simple phrase, one or two words, not like don't get up and preach a sermon. Just what hits you? What hits you about this text that shocks you? You know, what is God sort of bringing to your mind? So let's read it again. Then I said to myself, oh, he even sees me in the dark. At night, I'm immersed in the light. It's a fact. Darkness isn't dark to you. Night and day, darkness and light, they're all the same to you. Oh, yes, you shaped me first inside, then out. You formed me in my mother's womb. I thank you, high God, you're breathtaking. Body and soul, I am marvelously made. I worship in adoration. What a creation. You know me inside and out. Like an open book, you watched me grow from conception to birth. All the stages of my life were spread out before you. The days of my life all prepared before I'd even lived one day. And just for a moment, a little bit of silence. Just as you feel led, just begin to say that one word, maybe it's a phrase that really comes out at you. Anybody? You know me inside and out. Open book, right? Body and soul, I'm marvelously made. Who else? You're breathtaking, right? From conception to birth. All the days of my life are prepared. Yeah. I am immersed, yes, in the light. And what is he saying? Even at night, when it's dark, I'm immersed. Anyone else? Right. Darkness isn't dark to you. Now, thank you for that. One of the ones that caught me was that one, you know me inside and out. And then you prepared all the days of my life before I had lived even one of them. It's like what he's saying is that each one of our lives is kind of spread out from beginning to end before God. And he has a plan and he knows all of it. He knows everything. He knows you inside and out. He knows you in the darkness. He knows you in the light. He knows the good things you've done. He knows all the bad things you've done. Nothing escapes God. Can you grab a hold of that this morning? Nothing you have done, even if you've kept it secret from everybody else, nothing you've done has escaped him. And what I'm saying is, he knew about it before you'd lived even one day. He knew about it. But he chose you anyway. He chose you, and we're gonna read out of Ephesians here something amazing he has decided to do with you, knowing all about you. He knows everything about you. So you come in here and you can feel like, you know, I just don't know if I measure up to God. I just don't know if I can do these things he wants me. If people knew what my thought life was like, if they knew how I've blown it, if they knew the way that I yell at my kids or the way that I look at my secretary or whatever it is. This is what I want you to understand this morning. It was laid out in front of him like an open book before you'd live one day. And he loves you and chose you anyway. Nothing shocks God that you've done. Now that doesn't mean that you have a license to go do anything you want to do. That's not the point. The point is, though, this is grace. This is grace. This is God's love for you, that he sees it all, he knows who you are, and he says, come to me, come to me. Don't run away from me. Don't be afraid. Understand, I have a purpose and a plan for your life. I know who you are. I've seen it all. And you know what? To know this should make us adore him. That's what he's saying. I adore you. You are breathtaking, God. You take my breath away. How many of you here this morning can really truly say that when you got up this morning, you thought to yourself, God, you take my breath away? But that's how we ought to think. And we ought to think that because of this reality, because God knows you inside and out. And yet, he says, I choose to totally bless you and bless your life. To use you, to adopt you as my kids. I love you, and don't be afraid, because it's all there out in front of me. I already knew about it. And I believe that Paul had this truth in mind, this psalm in mind, when he began to write the letter to the Ephesians in chapter 1. And let's read it together again, and we'll try and capture the sense of just the amazing reality of God's love as we see it in Ephesians chapter 1. And again, this is from the Message, because I just think Eugene Peterson has caught something about the awesomeness of this that I want us to grasp today. So he says this, I, Paul, am under God's plan as an apostle. What is he saying? He's saying, I am, the fact that I'm an apostle was in his mind when he created me. I am under God's plan. This was God's idea, not my idea. So I'm an apostle under God's plan. I'm a special agent for Christ Jesus, writing to you faithful believers in Ephesus. I greet you with the grace and peace poured into our lives by God our Father and by our Master or Lord Jesus Christ. How blessed is God, and what a blessing He is. He is the Father of our Master Jesus Christ and takes us to the high places of blessing in Him. Long before He laid down earth's foundations, He had us in mind. See, Paul says, you know, it's not just even before you were born. It was before the earth was born. He had you in mind. He had us in mind and had settled on us as the focus of His love. That ought to blow your mind for a minute. Just think about it. He is the God of all creation. And the reason Paul's talking about this is he's saying He threw the stars in space. He created the universe, in the hugeness of the universe. And the earth itself is the work of His hand. But those things aren't really the focus of His attention, of His love. He has settled before the foundations of the earth that you would be the focus, the focal point of His love. To be made whole and holy by what? By His love. So grace is how we get made holy. Grace is how we get made whole. Transformation, in one sense, starts. Now, I'm going to talk next week about some things that can help us, and the reality that, you know, there are things that we can do that help us experience that love and can help us be transformed. But everything starts here. If it doesn't start here, it's worthless. It doesn't work. If it starts in striving or the law or earning or any of that, then do you understand what I'm saying? It has to begin in this place that you understand that you are the focal point of His love, and the reason His love is focusing on you is that you would be made whole and holy by His love. Long ago, He decided to adopt us into His family through Jesus Christ. And I love this. What pleasure He took in planning this. And the lady who was speaking to us, she said, can you imagine the Trinity, long before they'd even created the universe, and they're in this love relationship, kind of spinning around in the universe, thinking about you and what they were going to do. and that they took pleasure in it. They're like, oh, yes. And right here, this is when Kel's going to finally discover who we are. And he's going to give his life to us, and we're going to transform him. And over here, we're going to empower him to change the world here, or to be a part of this. And, aren't you excited? The Trinity is excited about you. You are the focal point of God's love and his purposes and plan. I mean, that should blow, I don't know. Am I getting through to you guys? He wanted us to enter into the celebration of his lavish gift giving. And celebration. Lavish gift giving. That's the God who has focused all of his attention onto you. And he wants to lavish gifts on you. And how are those gifts lavished on us? By the hand, say it with me, of his beloved Son, grace, the gospel, the cross, the resurrection, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. This is what he's doing. It should just blow our mind. Let's read Ephesians 1, 7 to 10 next. Because, read it with me, because of the sacrifice of the Messiah, his blood poured out on the altar of the cross, we're a free people, free of penalties and punishments chalked up by all of our misdeeds. And not just barely free either, abundantly free or absolutely free. He thought of everything. Provided for everything we could possibly need, letting us in on the plans he took such delight in making. He set it all out before us in Christ, a long-range plan in which everything would be brought together and summed up in him. Everything in deepest heaven, everything on planet Earth. We are abundant. Do you understand? This is your reality. He laid out your life. He knows all about you. He knows you inside and out. But in Christ, he has provided everything. Everything. And he wants you to be excited about that. He wants you to, and not just for your life, but everything in deepest heaven, everything on planet Earth. He has provided everything to complete his plan for you. Well, I'll get to it in a minute. Let's read on Ephesians 1, 11 to 14. It's in Christ that we find out who we are and what we are living for. Long before we first heard of Christ and got our hopes up, he had his eye on us. He had designs on us for glorious living. What does he want for you? Glorious living. Part of the overall purpose he is working out in everything and everyone. So this plan that he's so excited about, that he's laid out knowing exactly what you're like, but he says, oh, I'm so excited about what we're going to do with this person. And he's laid it all out for you, and he's saying, it's yours. He had his eye on you. He has designs for you. And it is glorious. Your life is meant to be glorious. He is working it out in everything. It is in Christ that you, once you heard the truth and believed it, the message of your salvation, you found yourself what? home free, signed, sealed, and delivered. And I think that that's, you know, Eugene Peterson must love that song. Signed, deals, sealed, delivered, I'm yours, right? I mean, this is what the Holy Spirit is saying. This is what God is saying to you and me in Christ, is that you are home free, you're signed, you're sealed, you're delivered by the Holy Spirit. And he says this signet, or it's like that signet ring, which you would seal something in the ancient times. He says this stamp from God is the first installment on what's coming, a reminder that we'll get everything God has planned for us, and it's a praising and glorious life. That should blow our mind. That's what he's, and it's not just, this is what he wants for you. No, I hope that you're going to do everything you can do to make sure you don't miss it. That's not what he's saying, is it? He's saying, that's what I'm doing. Now, will you believe it? Because if you believe it, you're going to see it. And it's not about what you do. It's not about how good you are. It's not about whether you measure up. It's not about those things. Now, those things are important. It's important to live for Christ and to be holy, and I'll talk about that next week. But right now, I just want you to get this in your mind. This is the pathway to transformation. Let's read Ephesians 1:15-19 now. That's why, when I heard of the solid trust you have in the Master Jesus, and your outpouring of love to all the followers of Jesus, I couldn't stop thanking God for you. Every time I prayed, I'd think of you and give thanks. But I do more than thank. I ask. I ask the God of our Master, Jesus Christ, the God of glory, to make you intelligent and discerning in knowing him personally. So this is the thing, it's a personal, it's knowing this. Knowing who this God is and what he's done for you. That's what he said. I'm not asking that you would get super holy and you would learn how to be a good person. He's saying, I'm asking that you would become intelligent and discerning in knowing him. That your eyes focused and clear so that you can see exactly what he is calling you to do. Grasp the immensity of this glorious way of life he has for his followers. Oh, the utter extravagance of his work in us who trust him. Endless energy, boundless strength. I mean, Paul, I can't stop praising and thinking and thanking God and thinking about you guys. Every time I think of you, I think he's sort of saying, something bubbles up inside of me and I start chuckling to myself. Kind of like Ebenezer Scrooge on Christmas Day after the three spirits had had their way with him and done their work. And he would say, like, I'm merry as a schoolboy. I'm light as a feather. And he's jumping around realizing that God has taken away all of his sins, all the chains that had held him down were suddenly gone, and he was leaping around, and you know, that's my favorite part of that movie. How about you guys? But you know what? That's us. That's what we should be like, because that's the reality of what God has done to you and me. To all of us who believe. And what that should do then, if we start to get this, what it produces according to the way that Eugene is talking about this, is this boundless energy, this boundless strength, and this, we can all get to these places where I think we feel like we're in a desert. How many of you ever feel like that? You know, you have been a Christian for a while now, and things are going along, and, you know, it's not where I thought it would be, and my life isn't where I thought it would be, and we kind of get into that, I'm in a rut, I feel like I'm, that's the way out of that is this. Do you understand what I'm saying? We got to catch this reality. That no matter what, because what he's saying to you is, even if you're in a rut, I knew about the rut. I knew you'd be here one day, but I have a plan for you. And I'm so excited about that plan for you. And you think you're in a rut. He has extravagant gifts that he wants to pour out in us. There is a way of living that we are to walk in his grace in a way that the enemy can't dump condemnation on us. He can't stop us from believing the good things that God has in store for us. He can't take us out of this story. You see, this scripture is a story. It's the reality of what God is doing in the world. And what often happens to us is we get knocked out of that story by unbelief, by the troubles of our life, by our own brokenness or those kinds of things. And suddenly we're not focused on that story anymore, and we get into this place where religion is what I need, or I need something to discipline me. I need this to fix me. And we lose the love. We lose the gospel. The focus of God's whole intent is on you. I don't know about you. That just, every time I say that, I get goosebumps running up and down my spine. I just think it's amazing. Let's read this next part. All this energy issues from Christ. God raised him from the dead and set him on a throne in deep heaven, in charge of running the universe, everything from galaxies to governments. No name and no power is exempt from his rule, and not just for the time being, but forever. He is in charge of it all, has the final word on everything. At the center of all this, Christ rules the church. The church, you see, is not peripheral to the world. The world is peripheral to the church. The church is Christ's body, in which he speaks and acts, by which he fills everything with his presence. Where does our energy come from? From Jesus. And not only that, Jesus is running it all. So often we let fear and circumstance and all those kinds of things allow us to forget this reality that God is in control. One of the words I got as I went up, because for people feeling tired and that kind of thing, and so I thought, well, I better go up there. I just was on sabbatical. Who wouldn't be tired? So, I went up and I got this picture. A person gave me this word. He says, there's this big oxen, and his name is Jesus, and he's coming right beside you, Barry. And he's saying to me, and I see you, and you're this little teeny oxen. And Jesus says, hook up to me. And it's like your feet are off the ground, and you're trying to walk, but you're like, And he's walking, and he just says, he takes all the weight. So our job, in a sense, is to hook up, to take my yoke upon you, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. What does that mean? It means I'll carry the load. I'm going to carry the load. Is that okay with you, Barry? Are you tired of trying to carry the church by yourself? Are you trying to carry the weight of the world on your shoulders? Are you tired of that yet? Yeah, I'm kind of tired of it. Good. Okay, hook up to me. And then it's like, the guy said to me, it's like you're dangling there, but you're kind of like super excited, and you're looking at him, and you're saying, Jesus, can we do this now? And he goes, yeah, we can do that. Let's go do that. Let's go have some fun, Barry. I'll do that. But you're sort of like, you know, it's like you're not really driving this thing. You think you are, maybe, but it's him. He carries the load. all of this energy. It issues from Christ. It comes from Him. Do we think that, like Kel said, do we think Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton can stop God's plan? It would shock. There is a part of me that says, God, I'm not so. If Donald Trump wins the election, there is a part of me that says, I'm not sure what you're doing, God, but I'll trust you. But the point is exactly what Kel read this morning, that God, see, we'll let fear then drive us. And you know, when I look at the Christians, so many Christians down in the States, and the hatred that begins to get thrown around, and the way in which they start looking at Democrats as the enemy, as opposed to looking at them as, and I'm not saying the Democrats are all lost, God forbid that, they're beautiful believers, but instead of looking at them as the people that God loves and wants to have a relationship with, fear knocks us into a different story. God's not in control anymore. And what we need, even if Donald Trump has never professed Christ as his Savior, even if he's a horrible man to women, even if he's greedy and doesn't pay his bills, even if his moral integrity is shot, Donald Trump is the only salvation for America. I mean, that's ridiculous, isn't it? And yet there are Christians down there, big name Christians, that are hooking, in one sense, their yoke onto that. We need to get excited in this church about what God can do, because He has a plan for you and me. And that plan is all about what He's going to do and what He promises to do through us.